Kandahar in southern Afghanistan is emerging from the effects of Taliban rule much more slowly than cities in the north of the country. Kandahar was the Taliban stronghold, and many of the strict rules the Taliban imposed on the rest of the country were rooted in local tribal customs. So the effects of the revolution, as the end of the Taliban regime is being called, have been less pronounced in Kandahar than elsewhere. NPR's Sarah Chase has that story.
The sounds are the biggest giveaway that something has changed in Kandahar. This used to be the Islamic madrasa, which graduated Taliban. Now it's a public school. Gulalai, Sadia, and Guldanai left their house on the first day of classes squealing with excitement. We're going to school! We're going to learn to write! But even five-year-old Guldanai will have to cover her hair and wear black. For many people, the sound of their own voices is new. They say they can speak freely for the first time in years. Khalil Pashtun, spokesman for the new Kandahar governor, is proud.
This city has a full democracy right now. They can listen to the music. They are entitled to the speech. They can object me right in this house. I don't harm them.
Refugees are heading home, riding in trucks atop mounds of bundles. Cars and donkey carts and wheelbarrows and horse-drawn taxis now get stuck solid at the main traffic circle. Kandahar is slowly emerging from its years as the Taliban stronghold. But some things haven't changed. Among the petitioners at the governor's palace is a flock of women, their burqas filthy. Most are widows. They're hard-pressed to describe how their lives are different since the fall of the Taliban. First it was the Taliban regime, they say. Now there's another government. God destroyed us. There's no work, we're hungry, we're thirsty, we have nothing. More than veils or beards, the matter that most preoccupies Kandaharis is the skyrocketing cost of living. Goods here are sold in the Afghan currency, the Afghani. Since September, its value has tripled against the Pakistani rupee. But most salaries are paid in rupees, and they have not been raised. Haji Abdul Ghaffar sells the spangled caps men wear under their turbans. He imports from Pakistan. So with his newly strong Afghani buying more caps than before, he should be able to lower his prices. But like most shopkeepers, he wants to unload his old stock first. He says, if I can just sell these, then I'll buy cheaper and lower my prices. But I can't do that yet because I'd lose money. The Afghani fluctuates markedly during the course of each day. Speculators crowd the money changers' street. Torjan, with a salt and pepper beard and hooded eyes, sits cross-legged behind the glass case where bundles of rupees, and now fresh $100 bills, are stacked. He says Afghanistan's new central government must control the currency and close unauthorized printing presses. Afghanistan's main export, apart from opium, is dried fruit and nuts. At the wholesale almond market, about a dozen merchants file down to a basement storeroom piled with burlap sacks. One elderly man cracks shells with a stone. The merchants say the high Afghani is the principal change in their lives since the end of the Taliban regime. They buy in Afghanis and sell to Pakistan in rupees at a loss. Still, they see some hope for improvement. Abdul Ghaffar explains.
The Taliban regime does only had the formal relation with Pakistan, and therefore we didn't have any business trade with other countries.
They're hoping to start shipping their almonds to other countries soon. To a man, like the overwhelming majority of Kandahari men, these merchants wear turbans and flowing beards still. Abdul Ghaffar says, even before the Taliban regime, this was our custom, and our women have always worn burqas. To a foreigner, changes in Kandahar may appear subtle. To Kandaharis, some are breathtaking. A card game like this would have been unthinkable just a month ago. Sarah Chase, NPR News, Kandahar.